Well, it's so great today to be in the Lord's house. And Toretta, you come. I want to ask you just a question or two before I preach. Can I do that? Toretta, I was online, and I saw last week, last Sunday, you was out at David Jeremiah's church. The weather was probably a little different from here in Hooterville, right?
Well, the palm trees were blowing. I'll just
palm
say
trees
that.
Were... But you know, Toretta, I thought about you and I did an event probably about a year ago together. And I thought about all the places you go, and whether it be the Brooklyn Tabernacle or Shadow Mountain or churches just like ours. But you actually didn't start out that way. You actually, there was a Southern Gospel group called the Greens, I think. And you tried out for a part there, didn't you? Tell me about that.
I did. When I was 18 years old, I auditioned for the soprano part of a Southern Gospel group called the Greens. They're a family from Boone, North Carolina, and got the job when I was 18.
But from what I gather, Toretta, you got more than the part when you hooked up with the Greens, didn't you?
I did. I actually, right after I joined them, I fell in love with the lead singer, Tony. So I got way more than what I bargained for.
That's it. When a Toretta, you and Tony, two children?
Right. We have two children.
Two children. And you all went on the road. And I remember, I think... Didn't you all have that song, Jesus Has a Rocking Chair?
We did.
I remember
yes.
All those songs. And the Hoppers have been here a lot of times.
Right.
And Kim Hopper, I think, was a sister.
She was Tony's sister.
That's right.
Yes,
okay.
Tony's sister.
Now, after you and Tony had been married a while, I understand he got sick. Tell us about that.
He did. About 6 months into our marriage, he was diagnosed with kidney failure. And the doctors told us, it was very difficult because we were only married 6 months, and he was just, we were just learning each other, and he was just understanding that I'm always right. And so, it's a true story. And so, when he was diagnosed, it really was a struggle on a new marriage, and they told us within just a few months he would need some sort of assistance with his kidney function.
Well, Toretta, I know we'll probably talk more about this as you do the complete concert tonight, but I understand you gave him your kidney, right?
I did. We were a perfect match. They said if we were twins, we would not have been a closer match. So in 2009, a year after our second child was born, I gave Tony a kidney.
But Toretta, you gave him the kidney, and it would be so good if the story perhaps ended right there. But that wasn't the end for Tony, was it?
Well, about a year after we did the transplant, his body was developed a lung infection that he couldn't fight because of his immune system on purpose being suppressed for the kidney transplant. And in September of 2010, a year and a month after the transplant, Tony went home to be with the Lord.
He went to be with the Lord. Now, Toretta, my wife, who is the best Christian I know, she went through a very serious depression years ago. And I think after that happened to Tony, and perhaps after that happened to you, you went through a low time, didn't you?
You know what? I did. About... See, the thing was, my entire life was wrapped up in Tony. My job, my children, my husband, my best friend, everything in my life I did with him beside me. So when he passed away, I was completely lost. I lost my job, I lost my best friend, my kids lost their dad, and I had no idea. Really, to be honest with you, I lost my song. I didn't think I would sing anymore. We moved in with my mom, and I was diagnosed psychotic, which I found out does not mean psycho. I don't think.
It doesn't.
Okay, good. You heard Pastor. He said it. Psychotic OCD, severely depressed, on 4 medications a day just to get through the day, and went through for about a year of not really being able to function, basically. And so I took those medications. The problem is I was raised Pentecostal, and when I didn't take the medications, I was so emotional and so just torn all to pieces. No one could stand to be around me. And when I did take them, I felt nothing at all. And being raised Pentecostal, we feel everything. and so even if there's nothing to feel, we feel it. So the real problem was I had grown numb to everything in my life.
Sure. But Taranda, there's a scripture that I love. It says, we went through the fire and through the water, but the Lord brought us out. We went through the fire and the water, but the Lord brought us out. And Taranda, you're a testimony that the Lord brought you out.
You know what? If nothing's ever accomplished from my life but me to stand before you and tell you that God made a way through Jesus, let that be it. And I don't know what your struggle is today. Your story is not mine. Mine isn't yours. But I know, especially through the holiday season, emotions tend to grab at us. So if I could tell you anything today and encourage you today, is to keep breathing and keep moving, because God is on your side. We have a faithful and loving God who wraps his arms around us when we don't feel there is any other way. And if I can be a testimony today to tell you that there is a way.
I want us to look at a verse that was written 700 years before Christ. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. No matter which campus you're in, perhaps you're down at Forsyth, perhaps you're at our Macon campus or Griffin campus over at the Branch, you're just streaming our services. Wherever you are, we're grateful that you're worshiping the Lord with us today. Thank you so very much. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 reads like this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I want to take a few moments, and I want to talk to you about why we all need Christ this Christmas. Why we all need Christ this Christmas. I was reading this week about a man by the name of Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel is a Christian apologist. He literally goes into liberal universities and he debates the validity of the Word of God. But as I was reading and studying about Lee Strobel, I realized he wasn't always that way. He was actually an atheist, and he worked for a Chicago newspaper, the Chicago Tribune, and he literally didn't even believe in God. And Lee Strobel, as a journalist, was asked to go out and do a story on the poorest of the poor families in Chicago. And Lee Strobel said he went out and did a story on a family, the Delgados. He said the Delgados was a grandmother who was raising two granddaughters, Lydia and Jenny. Lydia was 13 and Jenny was 11. Lee Strobel said, I walked into their apartment and there was no furniture in the apartment. Literally no furniture other than one table, and on that table was a bowl of rice. He said, I saw the 11-year-old and the 13-year-old that the grandmother was raising. And I began to do some research. And they each had one short sleeve dress. That's all they had. They had one short sleeve dress. And they had a gray sweater that they would wear as they walked to school. But they only had one gray sweater. And one of them would wear the gray sweater halfway to school, and the other one would wear the gray sweater the other rest of the way to school. He said, I saw the poorest of the poor. But he said, what amazed me, an atheist. He said, they had hope. He said, they had hope, and they had a peace that I didn't have. And he said, I wrote a story for the Chicago Tribune about this family. He said on Christmas Eve at the newspaper, nothing was going on. And he said, I began to think, what about the Delgados? Wonder how they're doing. So I drove to their house on Christmas Eve, knocked on the apartment door, and when I went in, I saw furniture. I saw food. I saw clothing. I saw decorations. And they said to me, Mr. Strobel, after your story in the newspaper, people responded and they started coming and bringing things for us. People started helping us. And then he said, I noticed what they were doing. They were putting stuff in bags. And I said, what are you doing? Putting the stuff in the bags. And they said, we have neighbors that still have needs. And that's what Jesus would do. And Lee Strobel said, I thought, here I am hoarding everything. And they have nothing. But yet they want to give away. And he said to himself, this is amazing. And he looked at Miss Delgado. And she said, Mr. Strobel, I want to thank you for everything we received. But I want to report to you, all this is wonderful. But the greatest gift is Jesus Christ. The greatest gift is Jesus. And Lee Strobel said, I left that home thinking, they have something that I don't have. And he said, I left that home thinking, I need Jesus. And folks, in different capacities, I want to say today that this Christmas, we all need Jesus. I don't know in what capacity, but I know with affirmation, this Christmas, we all need Jesus. And 700 years before he came, God said, I'm going to send you a child. That shows us his humanity. And I'm going to send you a son. That shows you his divinity. And ladies and gentlemen, this Christmas, every one of us need Jesus. And let me explain to you why we need Jesus. God said, I'm going to send you a child, a son. We're going to call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. He sent God to be with us because we're going to need him. And he gave the names. He said, first of all, I'm going to send you Jesus, and his name shall be called Wonderful, to take care of the dullness of life. His name shall be called Wonderful, to take care of the dullness of life. You know what I know, folks? You can shop on Black Friday. You can have all the gifts. You can have all the lights. You can have all the alcohol. You can have all the parties. You can have all the paraphernalia. You can have every bit of that. You can have all the festivities. But I want you to know something. Christmas is still going to be dull. There's not going to be a spark in your life unless you have Jesus Christ. Because his name shall be called Wonderful, to take care of the dullness of life. See, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. You can have everything. You can own everything. You can have your life planned out. You can be the life of the party. But I want you to know something. There'll always be something missing unless you have Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. And I want you to realize something. The only thing that can put sparkle in your Christmas, the only thing that can put sparkle in your life is Jesus Christ. And his name shall be called Wonderful, to take care of the dullness of this old life. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you'll move from thing, to accomplishment, from accomplishment. You'll move from relationship to relationship, and there'll always be something missing until you come to Jesus Christ. You can get all the accolades, you can get all the awards, you can get all the honors, but ladies and gentlemen, I want to report to you, there'll always be something missing until you come to Christ. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Take care of the dullness of life. But I tell you something else. His name shall be called Counselor, to take care of the decisions of life. His name shall be called Counselor, to take care of the decisions of life. You know, I read that the number one reason why people are stressed out is because of a decision that they need to make. The number one reason people are stressed out is because of a decision that they need to make. You know, I've often thought about those wise men. It must have been neat to follow that star. And you know, if I could have a conversation with those wise men, I'd say, what was it like to follow a star for 1,500 miles? Man, that star just led you to the Christ child. What was it like? Perhaps those wise men would say to me, well, what was it like to have the Holy Spirit inside you? What was it like to have the Holy Spirit inside you who wanted to lead and guide and direct your life? See, ladies and gentlemen, he's called Wonderful to take care of the dullness of life. But he's called Counselor to take care of the decisions of life. We've got a counselor. The Holy Spirit's inside of us. We have the Word of God. We can pray. Oh, I'm so glad he came, folks. Because we need a counselor. But I'll tell you something else. He not only should be called Wonderful to take care of the dullness of life, he should not be called Counselor to take care of the decisions of life, but he should be called Mighty God to take care of the demands of life. His name should be called Mighty God to take care of all the demands of this life. I love the story about two city boys. They joined the Boy Scouts and they went on their first excursion, and they were just city boys. And they was out and they was putting the tent up. And the mosquitoes started biting them. And one said to their, get the tent up. Hurry up. And as those mosquitoes began to bite, it was just getting dark. And the lightning bugs came out also. And one said to the other, hurry and get the tent put up so we can get inside. They're coming at us now with flashlights. And you know, folks, when you're in this world, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. Sometimes it seems like they're coming at us with flashlights. It's so demanding. Folks, let me tell you something. You can't do everything that people want you to do. You can't do everything that people want you to do. I've got something else for you. You can't do everything you want to do. But I've got good news. And I have to tell myself this on a regular basis. I can do everything that God wants me to do. I can do everything that God wants me to do. Because see, for everything you say yes to, there's less of you for something else. And you've got to make sure that your yes was worth the less. And ladies and gentlemen, his name should be called Mighty God to take care of the demands of life. Let me tell you something else. His name should be called Wonderful to take care of the dullness of life. His name should be called Counselor to take care of the decisions of life. His name should be called Mighty God to take care of the demands of life. But his name should be called Everlasting Father to take care of the dimensions of life. See, if you live long enough, if I live long enough, everything you have or hold will either pass or fail. If you live long enough, everything you have or hold will either pass or fail. You say, Brother Benny, what are you talking about? I'm talking about one day, folks, your health's going to pass. You say, I'm healthy, Pastor Benny. But that's going to pass. If we live long enough, we all develop the five B's. Baldness, bulges, bunions, bifocals, and bad memory. Life's like a bath. The longer you stay, the more wrinkles you get. This is what I know. 27 years ago, folks, I came here as the pastor of this church. I was a young man. My hair was dark. I told one lady in the church, I remember I said, when I came to this church, I was a young, good-looking man. And she said to me, my God, Brother Benny, what happened? Let me tell you something. If you live long enough, I mean, it's going to be frost or it's going to be lost. Amen? I made a deal with God. I said, God, I don't care what color it turns as long as it don't turn loose. I'm just kidding, man. Cheap furniture don't come with a marble top. Amen? But let me tell you something, folks. It's going to pass. You say, I'm healthy, but oh, let me tell you, it's going to pass. You say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. My career, you don't know what an asset I am to the company. <laughs> 30 minutes after you're gone, that company's going to keep on functioning. 30 minutes. You say, oh, Brother Benny, I don't know if they can make it without me. Oh, yeah, they'll make it without you, I promise you. Yes. 30 minutes after Benny Tate's gone. You say he gave 40 years to Rock Springs Church. What are they going to say 30 minutes after he's gone? Pass the potato salad. Because, see, folks, it's all going to pass. It's all going to pass. Folks, I'm for family. I'm all for being close to your family. But as Taranda gave the testimony, if you stay here, family will leave. See, his name should be called Everlasting Father to take care of the dimensions of life. He's the only one, ladies and gentlemen, that will never leave you nor forsake you. He's the only one that can go with you all the way to the end. And Corey Ten Boom said, you'll never know. He's all you need until he's all you have. Folks, I need Jesus this Christmas because his name should be called Wonderful to take care of the dullness in my life. His name should be called Counselor to take care of the decisions that I need to make. His name should be called Mighty God to take care of the demands that this life throws at me. His name should be called Everlasting Father to take care of the dimensions of life. Let me tell you something else. His name shall be called Prince of Peace, to take care of the disturbances of life. His name shall be called the Prince of Peace, to take care of the disturbances of life. Let me tell you something. I'm not an anthropologist. But you know what I know about most of the people that's listening to this message right now? This is what I know about 98% of the people that are listening to this message right now. Life did not turn out just like you had planned for it to. Life did not turn out just like you had planned for it to. Say, what happened, Pastor Benny? There were some disturbances along the way. And this is what I found, folks, as our musicians are coming. I found Jesus to be there during the disturbances of life. I found Jesus to be there when the plan didn't work out just like I wanted it to work out. See, folks, that scripture that says his name should be called Prince of Peace, that actually means in the Hebrew, tranquilizer. And that's what he is. He's our tranquilizer when we have disturbances. This is what I've learned about life. Sometimes you go through a storm. Sometimes you go through a storm and you pray. And you pray and you pray. And you say, God, calm the storm. Calm the storm. And it's wonderful, folks, when God calms the storm. Sometimes he does that. Sometimes we pray and we ask God, just calm the storm, and God calms the storm. But see, folks, I've learned this. Sometimes when I've been going through a storm, I prayed and asked God to calm the storm. And he didn't calm the storm. But he calmed me. Because he is the Prince of Peace. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. And this is what I know. We all need him this Christmas. And I am so glad he came. I am so glad he came. Because we need him. You need him. Your family needs him. We all need him.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and his blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.